Acts chapter number 5. In Sunday school and Bible study over the years, we've discussed the end time events, and then we've discussed the condition, according to the Bible, of the Christian church at the time of the coming of the Lord. Our generation is seeing the Bible prophecy being fulfilled at a rapid pace. In the past, we've mentioned, so stay with me right here, in the past, we have mentioned that after the prophets, after the apostles had died, and those that had been saved in the early church, there is what is known as the 1,000 years of darkness, religiously speaking. It was between the 5th century and the 15th century. Now, I'm not here to put down any religion, but religiously speaking, Roman Catholicism had the power in the religious church. Doesn't mean that there were not some believers here and there, but Rome ruled the religious world. And they were dark times. Then there came a man on the scene by the name of Martin Luther, a Catholic man, a monk. God, he was seeking God, and God stirred his heart. And God gave him the scripture. Martin, the just shall live by faith. For 1,000 years, salvation had come through works, and through saying prayers, and lighting candles, counting beads, and the rest. God spoke to Martin Luther and said, the just shall live by faith. He got up from there, he was doing penance, he got up from there, and began to preach, the just shall live by faith, and out of that came the religious reformation. And then another 100 or 200 years, and people being saved, and the Bible says, or the history tells me that some brothers by the name of John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield and some others began to seek God when they were in college in Cambridge, England. Having prayer meetings in God, began to speak to them. They believed in salvation. They believed in being born again. But they were hungry for more. God began to deal with their hearts about going on to holiness. And out of the preaching of John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield and some others, holy churches came into existence. Camp meetings and bus armor meetings. Holiness meetings. Denominations came into existence. The Methodist Church. The Brethren Church. Many others. Because of preaching of holiness. And then in the turn of the last century, people were hungry for more of God. More they read the Bible and they read the book of Acts, they realized they had something in the book of Acts that we don't have. They began to seek God. And so a man from Corpus Christi, Texas, by the name of William Seymour, a black man, went out to California on Azusa Street and rented a building, frame building, and began to have prayer meetings. Out of that prayer meeting came a Pentecostal revival. At the same time, a Bible school president in Topeka, Kansas, gave an assignment to his students about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and while they were studying and preparing and praying, God filled the Holy Ghost. There was such a revival in Southern California that a man from North Carolina left young North Carolina, went out to Southern California, got in the meeting with William Seymour and the others, and to see if it was real. And he received the Holy Ghost when the initial evidence was speaking in other tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. He came back to North Carolina. He preached in Durham. He preached in Goldsboro. He preached in various places, and the Pentecostal revival began to spread not only from California to Oklahoma, to North Carolina, to South Carolina, to Virginia, but across the ocean. Bishop George King of the Pentecostal Holiness Church took a trip to Europe and preached. And out of that time of his preaching, he went to I don't know where Stockholm or where it was. He was preaching and they had a Holy Ghost revival. And there was a time when the Philadelphia church in that city was the largest Pentecostal church in Europe. Revival! Bus armor meetings, tent meetings, camp meetings, Holy Ghost revivals, miracles, healings.
And so happened that my parents were born in the middle of that. When I came along in the beginning of the 30s, the revival was still spreading. It was centered in the early church in the New Testament. Miracles. Easy for people to be healed. Anybody came for healing, you expect them to be healed. And many times they were healed in that very service. And the thing I want to mention right now, God hasn't changed. Hallelujah. It is still God's desire to give Holy Ghost revival. He is still in the business of saving by grace through faith, washing sins away, turning people around, making new creatures out of them. He's still in the business of sanctifying holy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still in the business of baptizing in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. He's still in the business of getting revival. Hallelujah. And I'm believing God, and you're believing God for such a revival right here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it seems like the older I get and the closer the coming of the Lord comes, the more I want of God's blessing. The more I want of God's anointing, not only for me and my family, but for the church. Every time I go to prayer, it seems like the church. I pray for my wife, I pray for my family, I pray for the church. God, give us revival. Such a revival that our children will want to come and be saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to preach from the 5th chapter of the book of Acts tonight. I realize in our generation, this great Holy Ghost revival began in the turn of the last century, 110 years ago. But tonight, and this breaks my heart, but tonight, the church is experiencing a falling away. The apostasy. There's very little godly living. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm confident tonight when I'm preaching, if you serve God and obey God, you're part of the church of the living God, and whatever Satan brings against you, he is defeated in the name of the Lord. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for the great revivals of yesteryear. But as I mentioned, the church tonight, and I'm speaking, I'm not talking about Abundant Life or the Baptist church across the street. I'm talking about the church universal. Many have only a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's a lot of religion, but very little godly living. And listen, although many of the holiness church have forsaken the truths of the Bible and have returned to carnality and worldliness, God hasn't changed. He's still the God of the New Testament covenant. He's still saving by grace. He's still sanctifying holy. He's still baptizing those that come to Him in favor. And my prayer is, God, give us one more revival. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in real revival, brother, nothing else satisfies. Amen. When you go to the house of God so excited that you're just expecting something's going to take place. Something's going to happen. God's moving. God's grace is sufficient. The power of God is present among us. When you come on there, we've had people testify that way. They said these words, when I drove up in the parking lot, I felt the presence of God. I believe God's able to do it again. Amen. Revival, 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 a spiritual awakening. The people realize that this is the answer. Let me say it one more time. Paul said in the last days there will be a falling away. There will be an apostasy, but I hope everyone understands at the very same time that many are going the wrong direction, we can have revival. We'll pay the price, and it costs something. We'll pay the price. We can have the move of God that God would have us to have and wants us to have, and we'll bless our hearts and our lives. Thank God, thank God. The book of Acts tells us what the New Testament church was like, with God anointing the believers and
working in the lives and doing great exploits. And that's our desire tonight as well. When speaking through Ezekiel, listen to these words. When God was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man among them that should not should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But listen to these words. He said, but I found none. God said to Ezekiel, tell the people, I've looked for somebody. I've looked for someone out there that will stand up for the truth, that will stand in the hedge, that will make up the gap. But as I look, I found none. I'm asking God tonight to look down from glory and find someone in a bundle of tabernacle. Someone that will say, here am I, Lord. I give you my all. I give you my all. In the midst of falling away and carnality and wilderness. And I've seen it in my lifetime. I believe that I know when it started in the Pentecostal church. Remember, I'm almost 82 years old. I've been around a while. And I've seen some things. I was born in the time of the revival. In the early 30s, and God was moving. But we've come to the place where it seems like revivals are way off yonder somewhere. Not for today. And I'm here to tell you that God is still God. And God's got His eyes on you. And as you're fasting and praying, God's going to use you. God's going to bless. Keep on looking up. Keep on serving God. I'm going to read the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with the 29th verse. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men, talking to the Sanhedrin court. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. I'll give you a little bit of background. There was a time after the beginning of the church in the New Testament and that persecution came. And they had captured, they had arrested Peter and John and they had put them in jail, and then God let them out and now they have been put in jail, arrested again the second time. And this time, this is what the high court said, you have filled the land with the name of this man Jesus. We told you not to preach anymore in the name of this man Jesus, but you have filled the land with his name. And they said, to them, we don't want you to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, along with John, let me read that one more time, how he said that. If I can find where that was. We ought to obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. And needless to say, at that very moment, things didn't look very bright for the people of God, for the new church. I believe Satan was standing off to the side, and he was laughing and mocking. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and now two of the leaders is in jail, and they've been threatened, they've been beaten, and now the Bible says, why they told the disciples not to preach anymore, how they let them go after beating them, and they were now meeting together to see how they're going to slay them, they're going to kill Peter and John. It looks like the church is going under before it can even go over. I want you to read on from the 34th verse. Then stood there up one in the council of Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, put them outside for a little while. Said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days there is a fetus boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves to the slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and knew all much people after him. He also perished, and all even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it.
lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Think about it, if you will, in one of the darkest hours of the early church, when it looked like the disciples might be put to death and the church destroyed in its early stages, there was one man on the council, one man by the name of Gamaliel, one man that believed in Jesus on the high court. The Bible said he stood up and he began to talk to the council members, "You better not put your hand on God." Amen. I still believe that. You better watch what you're doing. Let me just give Satan a warning tonight. Satan, you better leave us alone. Amen. When you fight against us, you're fighting against God. Right. Amen. Right. They said to these apostles, "How did you not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus?" But they rejoiced. They've just been beaten. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went out there preaching and teaching of the good things of God. Listen closely. The devil might try to shut you up, but death of God in the heavens, amen. And the message is going to ring out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not going to sit down. Yeah. The Bible said Gamaliel stood up. Yeah. My prayer tonight is, God, give us someone in the blood of my tabernacle that will stand up. Yeah. In the last hour. And it's time for God. Can you say amen? It's real. God, give us someone that will stand up and be counted. I'm going to use three illustrations. I go all the way back to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. The Bible said there was wickedness and evil and immorality in the land. God looked out and said, think of this, five chapters. Less than 2,000 years. And mankind has become so evil that God looks over it and said, I'm going to destroy a man that I've made. He's my handiwork. I want to fellowship with him. I want us to enjoy one another, but he's turned his back on man. And I'm going to destroy man. And in the midst of it all, there's a verse in the Bible in the sixth chapter that stands out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we don't know what Noah went through. God gave him an assignment that was tremendous. I want you to build an ark 300 feet long. And I want you to build it 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And I want you to gather the animals that I've made two by two and bring them in. And as Noah was building the ark, he became the laughing stock and was mauled by the people. He preached that the Lord is going to set a flood, and they said, we never have flood. We don't believe it. People said the Lord hasn't come, and I don't believe he's coming, but it's coming. Right. Noah kept on building. It would have been easy after a while to give up. No one will listen. No one cares. No one cares when I'm preaching, I'm building and I'm building. I've built for 50 years and 75 years, 100 years I've been building and I've been preaching and no one cares. Listen closely. If no one ever hears, ever responds to your testimony, be faithful. Amen. 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 Keep that in mind. If no one ever is saved, then my minister from here on out, you know what I'm going to preach? He still saves. Amen. Amen. Noah had no building. And when the time came and God said, come on in, Noah. And they went in and waited for the people and no one came. And there came a time when God shut the door. Amen. And this is important. When God shut the door, no man can open it. Amen. Amen. Right. And God shut the door. And the rains began to come and the fountain began to be broken up. The floodwaters began to come. I imagine something like this. Somebody pounding on the side of the door. Let us in, Lord. Let us in. But it's too late.
Amen.
The reason I said all that is this. Noah stood up. It would have been easy to give in. It would have been easy for them to go the way of the others. Sit down. Cost too much. I want everyone to remember what I say now. Noah stood up and was faithful. And when I read the rest of the Bible, the rest of that chapter, I found out that Noah's whole family got saved. It'll be worth it all if he gets a family.
Right.
Don't give up. Keep on praying. I went to the brother. I came to 2 Samuel and I found that there was a time when Israel was in battle. I guess the Philistines, it seemed like they were always fighting. Still fighting. And the Bible said that Jesse, a man of Bethlehem, said it was your son David. I want you to go down and see how the army's making out and see how your brothers are doing. When David came close to where they were in the valley of Elah, the Bible said that the children of Israel, the armies of King Saul, they were like just a little flock of goats over here. They were the great armies of the Philistines. And as David came down to the valley, this giant of a man, 9 feet high, by the name of Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, came out in the valley, day after day after day, cursing God, blaspheming God, mocking God, saying, somebody from the camp of Israel, they will come out and fight with me, whoever wins the battle, and that will be the winning side, and the other side will serve him. David couldn't take it very long. His brothers were hiding. Saul was hiding. Saul's sons were hiding. The arms of Saul were hiding. And they were like in caves over there, hiding somewhere. And David said, I'll go. David stood up. I've liked that story ever since I was a boy. David stood up. Now, I'm not David, but we went down into the valley of Elah on one of our trips to Israel. I sort of tried to play the part of David. Didn't have a sling. He wasn't a teenager. But I picked up 5 stones. I tried to imagine in my mind what size stones it's going to use. And he picked up 5 stones, and somebody said, well, Brother Jones, did he expect to take 5 stones to hit the giant? Was he that bad a shot? You know what somebody said to me? That wasn't what it was. He picked up 5 stones, one for the giant, and the 4 for his other brothers. Think about it. David, a teenager, stood up.
Yeah.
The armies, the cowards, hiding out. David stood up. God, give us young people.
Amen.
Now stand up.
Amen.
Have you used that Friday night a week ago or 2 weeks ago? This is what's telling me about some 18 teenagers with some adults in that youth service and how they were praying. What God did and how God moved. I'm telling God, if that's the way you want to go, give us a revival. Let's start with a teenager. I'm telling God, give us a revival. Give us a revival, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, a teenager, stood up. Not because he was so bold, not because he was so great, not because he thought he was somebody, but because he knew God.
Amen.
When you know God, that's all the little to know.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know the story. We didn't use that kind of swimming. I'd be afraid to use that. I'd be let go at the wrong time. I got in trouble with the slingshot I had. You ever seen one of those? Wrong jaws. You got some inner tube tied. This pile. When you pull that thing back and I had some marbles in my pocket, I was carrying it. I was collecting for the trucking for the paper act. Teenage boy. I was standing on the porch of Sister Miss Mason. Why are you going to get the money? I thought I'd just shoot. I mean, a street gun, way over there. Just pull it. Pop! I hit it. That's one shot. I wish I hadn't taken it. What are you saying, Bridget? God give us some days.
Yeah.
And stand up. And be happy. And live right. Serve God.
Amen.
blessing, not because he hit the mark so often, it's because he knew that God was with him, and if God is with his brother, who can be against him? Hallelujah, get that verse in your heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, is God before us. Who can be against us and David without us? God was with it. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. He stood up. Stood up. And it's been easy to sit down. We've got some people tonight. I'll throw out some things that are going on politically in America. Briefly. Our nation, our leaders, many of our leaders are lying to us. And America is no longer the matter it was 50 years ago. And because of all of that, and I said it in Bible study, and I repeated it, if the Lord had it for it all, there would be persecution of the church. I would not be surprised if we do not get our tax exempt status removed. And if we do, many churches will go out of existence. They cost us so much right now for stormwater removal of this property. If they tax us for all this property, Satan would have an upper hand, it would see. Right. I believe this is going to take it to us, and it's going to be ours at any cost. Whatever the world might do, I want us to understand, David stood up. And I said all of that to say this politically or social, whatever it is. Thank God for some people that are standing up.
Amen.
And speaking out against what's going on. That's wrong.
Amen.
That's right.
Some of them have lost their job. They will never be able to get another job where they would have done it. They've had their clearance removed. No longer be able to work for the government of America because they blew the whistle on wrongdoing. America's come to our way, said we. No longer can put law aside and lift up the light. But we're living under law and putting the light down. Help us, God. Thank God for Noah and the day he's standing up. Thank God for Jamaica. The man of the Sanhedrin court that stood up. And he made all the difference in the world. And I have one other illustration that I'd like to bring to our attention tonight. It's found in the book of Daniel. You know the story, and I'm not going to be very lengthy here. There came a time when the Hebrew boys were in a foreign country. And there was an image erected in the plain of Dura. And the command was given, everyone, when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, you must bow down. Bow down to the image. Those who refused to bow down, they will be cast into the burning fiery furnace. I have liked this story as well. It's been a favorite of mine. There came a time when they sounded the musical instruments and people fell down to worship, and some looked around and listened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow. I want you to remember this. If the devil can't get you the first time around, he'll give you a second chance to compromise. And the king said, well, maybe you didn't understand. And he went through the whole rigmarole again. And when the time came for the musical instruments to sound, everybody fell down, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were standing tall. God give us people to not stand up.
Right.
Stand up and be counted.
Yes.
Stand up for what is right. I thank God for young people that love God even in the school.
Right.
When they go to school and they're out there around a poverty, out of step with what's being taught in school. Thank God for young people that stand up.
Amen.
That teaching makes contrary to the Bible in the school.
Right.
Did you see it on the television when a young man was there, out of his court or wherever? In a city in Texas, they said you cannot use the name of Jesus in your speech. He had a speech all right. Y'all just saw this week, then you saw it. He got to the platform, and you could see the teachers and the principals, whoever they were, sitting there on that front row. While he was standing there, he took the speech and tore it. He began to query, "Ah, Father, which art in heaven, how would be thy name?" As he was doing it, the man that was sitting behind him, I don't know what his position was, he didn't like what was going on. But no more decided, "I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm going to stand up for Jesus." He was not allowed to graduate with his class, cross the platform to get his diploma. But he made his mind, Jesus is more important. Give us people of God, not a stand up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what was going to take place. Now I'm going to make something plain. They did not know that God, and I'm saying this out of my own heart, that is what I believe. They did not know that God was going to deliver them out of the fire. But they said, "Our God will deliver us out of your hand."
Amen.
When we go in the fire, if we burn out, I hope you know we got the victory. We'll be the presence of the Lord. As God saved our lives, I want you to know we belong to God. Give us men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they passed into the fire, I want you to know it was not just a low burning outfit. Those that put them in the fire, cast them in the fire, the flame slipped out of that, came out of that furnace and destroyed them. It's a dangerous thing to pray against God. And the Bible says that the king, I'm not trying to quote it because it can't quote it, that the king looked into the fire and said something like this, "Didn't we throw three men? What did it bring to find the fire?" They said, "Yes, O king, three." He said, "But I see four walking in the middle of the fire." Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Jesus.
And he said, "The four looks like the Son of God."
Amen.
I heard all of us preach the fourth man a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And the king said, "The fourth looks like the Son of God."
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something tonight. I don't know where I'm going with this, but let me tell you now. If you're going through a hard place, if there's a trial,
yes,
if there's a problem, if there's sickness, if there's whatever, whatever it might be, I want you to know this. When the fire is hot, and you feel like you can't go another day, and don't know how I'm going to make it, look around. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. Hallelujah. He'll be there. He'll have favor. He'll have another hand. Come to God. He'll go into the fire. What did he say? Didn't we say three? Then we put three in the fire. And they said, "Yes, okay." But he said, "I see four." Hallelujah. Said that it would. People have gotten caught up with the things of the world. Homeless people. And I know some of my own family, relatives, homeless people that had goods. Power of God in their lives. Living in victory. Decided, since they're doing it, it must be alright. And so they have taken a step away. And since they're doing something else, we'll go that way, so everything will be all right. Look at the largest churches in America.
Uh-huh.
They're growing by leaps and bounds, and so they must have the goods. Listen closely, folks. Don't you judge anybody by the number.
Amen.
You judge the people by how they live.
Amen.
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 And I'm going to close. And I promise you this. In this last day, there is a falling away.
Amen.
Just a lot of religion, but better than a little living holiness.
That's it.
Better than a little godliness. A whole lot of worship and praise, but very little of serving God with all their heart. And a lot of people are taking up the things of the world.
That's right.
And wonder what the Bible is, and wonder what the power of God is, and wonder why this doesn't happen, and that doesn't happen. It'll happen when people get back to God.
Yeah, it will.
And that's all of us.
Right.
I'm not preaching anybody particularly. That's all of us.
Yes.
God is anxious to give revival.
Yeah, He is.
Right.
I'm going to close. Gamaliel stood up. He was a lawyer on the Supreme Court, the High Court of Israel. One of the leaders in the judicial system in Israel. He stood up. They could have mocked him, laughed at him, and all the rest, but he stood up. And he made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll stand up, it'll make a difference.
Amen.
I talked to someone from the beyond. I talked to someone this week. That person was mentioning about missing church. How did that be missed the time of liberty? You miss the next time. And the next time. And I said to that person this week, your testimony is the most important thing you've got.
Amen.
And if you lose your testimony, you have no influence.
None.
For the glory of God.
Yes.
For your children, for your family, for anyone else.
Right.
If you lose your testimony, you have nothing. I'm talking about a testimony that is backed by your life.
Yes.
If you lose that, you have nothing. God is saying tonight that we're going to sing, of course. God is saying to Tommy Metz, where he only went with us. Thank you for Tommy for being faithful to the church. Serve and serve, serve, serve. Thank you. God is saying to Tommy tonight, to everyone else in here, if you'll stand up, I'll stand with you. If you'll stand up, I'll stand with you. And together, we can have one of us. We stand with them.